All right, folks, time for another episode of Never Trust a Skinny Cook here on WXBC, and big eating time is upon us, Sammy.
Oh, it really is. We, you know, this week it's kind of, you know, we don't want to cook much at home because we get run here and you have to take this and take that. But then when you're getting up to the next week or so.
Get your stretchy pants out.
So these, I got some pretty good little recipes here. You know, they're kind of easy and quick to stir up.
We think about all the stuff going on this week, all the school programs and plays and band. Like, I don't have time to cook, really.
Well, you know, and you got office parties and you're eating there, and you know, so you don't need to cook a lot this week. But after that, the next week, you know,
all bets are off.
About the 20th, all bets are off. We're gonna lay in the goodies.
Oh, I can't wait.
Well, I got a little chicken dish here. How's that sound?
That sounds good.
Cajun chicken. I know you don't like anything Cajun.
No.
I'll leave the Cajun spices out for you. How's that?
I love that stuff.
I know you do. It's two or three chicken breasts, and you know you can use the bone in or the boneless. Probably for this recipe, the boneless is because you cut it up in chunks after you cook it. It's probably the best. You know, if I'm going to fry it, I really like that chicken on the bone.
Oh, me too.
Something about this gives it a good taste. That's like a ham with a bone or a steak with a bone.
Like
a big old T-bone, don't you? Porterhouse. This is two or three chicken breasts, about 1 to 1.5 pounds. And, you know, you could use the boneless ones. You can figure that out. 3/4 cup of olive oil, salt and pepper, 2 whole garlic cloves. There we go, Pop.
Oh, boy.
Juice of a 1/4 of a lemon. I don't know how you juice 1/4 of a lemon. I'd cut the lemon in half and squeeze it out.
I was sitting there trying to figure out how to do that.
1/2 cup white wine, and you can put that in there if you want to. You could use a little chicken broth if you didn't. 1 tomato diced. 6.5 ounce jar of marinated artichoke hearts.
Oh, I love them.
That ain't bad. And then you use some blackened fish spice or Cajun spice. I always have some of both of those. And 1/2 pound cooked spaghetti or angel hair pasta. And I lean toward the angel hair.
I think it soaks the stuff up. But is that just me?
It's just because it's so little skinny things. Yeah. I think. And it just, you know, its sauce really is good on it. You heat your oven to 350 and brush the chicken breast lightly with olive oil. Season with salt and pepper and roast about 15 minutes. Turn it over and continue to roast until the chicken is cooked through and no longer pink in the center. I don't like it pink in the center. No. And let it cool and cut it in 1-inch chunks and set aside. And then in a saucepan, you take those 2 garlic cloves and olive oil and just let them cook in there. You don't have to cut them up or anything. Let them until they kind of brown slightly and remove and discard. This is to just really infuse the olive oil with the garlic flavor.
Two of my favorite things.
And you add lemon juice, wine, tomato, and artichoke hearts. Bring to a boil, then lower the heat and simmer until it cooks into a nice sauce. Add your chicken breast and season to taste with the blackened fish spice or the Cajun spice. And what I did was rub some of that Cajun spice on those chicken breasts while I was roasting them.
That sounds so good.
You add the cooked pasta and stir. Serve.
You know what? All right, I'm gonna send my buddy Sammy Kershaw a message. I'm gonna tell him to listen to this and send us a can or two.
I saw Sammy Kershaw spices.
It's fantastic.
It says Sammy on the can.
Yep, like you said, if it says Sammy on it, it's gotta be
it's
good.
It's gotta be good. I saw Sammy Kershaw.
You know,
over in Nashville, Indiana one time.
He's such a great guy.
It was a good show, really was. I hadn't seen much about him lately.
When I was younger, out playing on the first little tour that I did, we had a string of shows with Sammy Kershaw. And he made a point to be in the front every time we played, and he would sing and clap and round people up and make them come see us. And I never forgot that.
Well, you don't forget something like that. But he did a really good show over there. And right after he married, or before he married Lori Morgan, and right at the end she came out on the stage.
Right.
Wasn't she the cutest?
They were. She was.
You know, I saw what you had, the spice.
He's doing good. He's got out a new record called Swamp Poppin', and he's celebrating his Cajun heritage with it.
Was he and Lori Morgan still married?
No.
I kind of thought that one went away.
You know, though, speaking of Sammy and Lori, they had a hot chicken restaurant before hot chicken was hip. Sammy and Lori's HotChicken.com, it was called. It was
they were the cutest couple, because he was the cutest little guy. And I just always thought she was so pretty.
I loved her. Of course, she was married to Keith Whitley, and that's my hero. So
yeah, I liked Keith Whitley,
But their hot chicken was fantastic. It was just ahead of its time.
And then they got a divorce.
So now Sammy's selling boudin and cans of spices and crawfish pies like a Kershaw ought to.
It was a really good show. I really enjoyed it.
I will make sure that you get a can of Sammy's Cajun spice.
I'll just set it up on top of my, you know, I got this lid on top of my, you got to come up and do a show in my kitchen.
I know,
kitchen.
We've got to do one in the kitchen.
I got the thing on top of my stove, and I got coffee cups from places, so I need that can set up there.
Maybe we can do a dish for Sammy themed on some of his. We can make the queen of my double-wide trailer souffle.
That's right. Honey, I've cooked a lot of double-wide trailer meals. I used to live in a single-wide.
As did I when Angie and I started out. But Sammy Kershaw, I don't think he wanted to be a country star. I think he wanted to be a chef.
Well, he sure put on a good show. I really enjoyed it.
What a cool dude. So this is for you, Sammy, and we'll make sure he listens to this.
Okay, I got another one-pot cabbage casserole. You know, you either like cooked cabbage or you don't.
Boy, I do. Anyway, of course, I
like almost everything. But gooseberries and parsnips, if everybody in the country knows. Somebody asked me today, they said, is there anything you don't like? We were talking about oysters. And they said, is there anything you don't like? And I said, well, gooseberries and parsnips. But as I always say, I could probably learn to like
them.
Let's
say, I'm about to convert you on parsnips.
Okay, I got a one-pot cabbage casserole, 2 pounds of ground beef, salt and pepper, or Creole seasoning, an onion chopped, a cup of rice, uncooked, 3 large handfuls of roughly chopped cabbage, and you want to chop it up. You don't want them big old leaves and hunks of it. An 8-ounce can of tomato sauce, 2 cups of water. You just use the tomato sauce can twice. A 14-ounce can of diced tomatoes, unraised, undrained, not unraised. A cup of shredded cheese. And I used Colby Jack because that's what I had, and that gave it a little spice. You season and brown your ground beef and onions and drain off the grease. And, you know, any more time, most of the time when I get ground beef, there's not any grease on it because I buy either ground chuck or ground round. And once the onions are clear, you know, where you browned them, add the rice, cabbage, tomato sauce, 2 cups of water, and diced tomatoes and stir. And let it come to a boil and then reduce heat to medium-low and cover it to simmer for about 20 or 30 minutes. Or until the rice is done and the cabbage is soft. And don't lift the lid before 20 minutes to make sure that rice swells up and cooks well. And once it cooked, you top it with the cheese and cover it with the lid to melt a few minutes.
Oh, nice.
And now when you put it on there and simmer for that 20, 30 minutes, don't forget it. I had some time back, you know, after somebody broke in my house, I had an alarm system put in, and then I had them put in the smoke alarms. And I said, don't put it too close to the stove. Because I cook a lot.
Right.
So that's probably been a year and a half. Guess what? Last week, the smoke alarm went off.
Uh-oh.
I burned some potatoes. I had some potatoes boiling on that back burner and a Guardian service pan on low. Went in there to watch some television. Just sat there a few minutes, you know. And I thought, what's that I smell? And they weren't bad, but it sets the alarm off.
But you think now, if you'd burnt cabbage, it'd have been bad.
It would have been bad. I ran in there and put that coat in, but I was kind of glad to know it worked because I thought, you know, this might not even work here. I'm paying for all this. It might not work.
Right.
It went off, and then just a few minutes, the phone rang. And this nice little man said, Ms. Quiggins, this is the alarm company.
So how you like your taters, son?
I said, I know. He said, what's your code? Are you all right? So he believed me after
good,
that.
Good.
But I'm kind of just glad to know it worked.
I tend to burn things sometimes.
My poor mother, God love her, she burns stuff all the time. And I always made fun of her, and so I guess it's coming home to roost to me.
That's the way it works.
She burned it from the time I can remember. Mom always had a pan sitting down on the back porch in the sun with soda on it to get the burn out. And I always just kind of bragged. I said, well, I very seldom ever burn anything.
I think my thing with that, Sam, is I like everything cooked to death.
Well, I like it cooked down.
Yeah.
You know, like green beans.
Right.
I don't like a whole lot of juice in them.
And I like my cornbread dark. I like my biscuits dark.
I will cook, you know, green beans because, you know, you got to put them out there canned or something where you got a cup of juice in them.
Right.
And they say, we shouldn't throw that away because that's where the vitamins are. Sometimes I boil that juice down a little bit before I put the green beans
right.
in.
I want them cooked down with some pork fat and plenty of salt.
Yes, fried in the bottom.
I like everything burnt except my steaks, and I like them raw.
Right.
Like that. There's no in-between with me.
But anyway, I'm glad to know. I had the smoke detector and the carbon monoxide detector, so I'm glad to know that works. So.
Absolutely. That is a good thing.
In case I do doze off some night and go to sleep.
Get to watching them cooking shows.
I know.
Drift off into sweet dreams.
That recliner and drift off. Doesn't take long to do that some nights. What about a little dessert?
I'm always up for a little dessert.
This is an easy one. I'm making it easy on everybody today. These are mostly pretty easy. I got an apple dump cake, and they probably made this. Somebody brought one to the bank, and I'm not sure that it was this recipe, but it was pretty good.
I like dump cake.
It was a box of Betty Crocker spice cake mix, 2 cans of apple pie filling, a stick of butter, 2 teaspoons of ground cinnamon. You preheat your oven to 350 degrees and spray the inside 9x13 casserole dish or pan with nonstick cooking spray. Empty your cans of apple pie filling in the bottom of the casserole dish, then spread out evenly and sprinkle the cinnamon over the apple pie filling. And in a mixing bowl, combine the dry cake mix and melted butter and stir until crumbly. Break up any large chunks. You don't want great big chunks. Pour cake crumb mixture over the apples in the casserole dish. Spread it out evenly. Bake for 30 minutes or until the edges are hot and bubbly.
Mm-mm-mm.
Serve with ice cream or whipped cream and enjoy.
Yes, and one big old black cup of coffee.
Don't that sound good? That sounds good, don't it?
Now, the apple things, they kind of taste Christmassy to me.
Yeah,
so
they
like
do.
That could get me primed up. I can pregame.
Yeah, we're kind of easing into Christmas, aren't we?
We're both wearing bib overalls the next week with the side buttons undone.
Yeah, that was Raleigh's thing.
That's why I like bibs. I keep on eating and just keep on unbuttoning.
He liked them. You know, he always said that because he ran a dozer all the time. And he said if he wore pants with a belt, you know, and he jumped up down the dozer and make a sore
Right. Around
where the belt was. So that was an excuse for rib overalls. But I just know he liked them because it was loose and floppy. It's like everybody wears knit pants now all the time. Exercise pants. What do you call them? Gym
yoga pants?
Huh?
Yoga pants.
Yeah, that kind of thing. You know, gym ones with the drawstring in the waist.
A cousin of mine, and if he's listening, he'll know it is, he made a joke about yoga pants a while back, and it was awful, and it cracked me up. He said, there's two kinds of people that don't need to wear yoga pants, and both of those get me in trouble.
I can understand that.
You probably know exactly who it is. We're not going to say his name.
Don't call no names.
Well, folks, hang tight because we got fun stuff coming up. We've got holidays on the way. You don't want to miss it. And join us next week. It's gonna be a lot of fun. We're talking Christmas. So Sammy Claus is going to be in the house.
Sammy Claus is going to be here, and you know you can't ever trust that skinny cook.